Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was a good reminder that the will of God is everything. And how that, in fact, prospering in God's will is your own prosperity. You know, our parents say the best that they want for us sometimes, maybe the school to go to, the kind of friends to keep, are good. They are good intentions. But sometimes it's not perfect. They can give you their sound counsel and you find yourself even faltering because they don't see tomorrow. But the person that knows tomorrow, the God who knows tomorrow, has already ordered your step. Just prosper in what he's telling you to do. And you will prosper. So thank you for that reminder. We're very grateful. I just have 1 hour. I'm not used to... In recent times, I've not been used to preaching for so long. Because so we're part of the outreach team that preaches, that takes the word of God to schools. And we have to preach within 15 minutes. So how do you grab the attention of people, land your message, and jet out in 15 minutes? It's like, you know those U.S. Navy SEALs? You know Navy SEAL in U.S.? Ah, don't watch movies. Okay, U.S. Marine. Do you know U.S. Marine? I'm not getting a response. Yeah. You know those guys, once they send them to go and rescue somebody in, say, Libya or Syria, they can go into that country, get the person out. Before that country realize what is happening, they've already gotten the person out of that country. So that kind of preaching has been like a mercenary kind of preaching. Like 15 minutes, sharp, sharp, land your message, impact the hearts of people and move out. But thankfully, we have a longer time to spend today, so I'm trusting God for impartation as well. Before we get into the word, I'd like us, well, I'm grateful to Pastor Kenneth for this privilege. Yes. Yes. To bring the word of God to you guys this afternoon. So let's just get right into it. Let's say a short word of prayer. Can everybody hear me? Fantastic. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this gathering. We know that you're going to speak to us. We only ask that you quicken our hearts in the name of Jesus. Quicken our understanding this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, let's get right into it. I like to start with icebreakers, right? I might be pointing to specific people. So I like everybody to be active, very active. Be sharp in your spirit. This is louder. Okay, the closer it gets. No, it's fine like this. It's okay. My sister, I've not seen you before. This is your first time. Ah, I'm the one that, okay, fair enough. Where does Donald Trump live? We know he's in U.S. Where in U.S.? Okay. Do you want to point somebody to rescue you? Anybody? Rachel. Where does Donald Trump live? The White House. Okay. Oh, is that the correct answer? Okay, what's the correct answer?
No.
Ah. Is there more to that? Okay. Where does Tinubu live? Your president. Our president. Who's at White House? Yes, it's in Abuja, but where exactly? Hmm? Be confident now. Say it. Black House. Ah. Nice one. Nice one. Nice one. I didn't see that coming. Okay. Point somebody to rescue you. You need rescue. Okay. Yeah. Where does your president live? Where in Abuja? Okay. Point to somebody else to rescue. Do you trust her to rescue you? You're just pointing. Can she rescue you? You can't rescue her. Ah, okay. Oh, Elizabeth, okay. Okay, jokes apart. Where does he live? Aso Rock in Abuja, right? Okay, last question, or second to the last question. Where does the Queen of Elizabeth live? Where in England? The Buckingham Palace. Who agrees with him? You agree with him? The Buckingham Palace. Well, me, I don't know. So you've educated me today. You're not sure? It's not correct. Okay. Well, food for thought. Go and discover the answer and let us know. So, final question. Where does God live? In heaven. Okay. Eh? Where in heaven? Okay. Eh? So are you in heaven? In our hearts. That's the very accurate answer. God lives in where? In our hearts. So that means you are God's house, technically. Right. Okay. Let's see Isaiah 66. Let's buttress that point that she just said in our hearts. If you are not correct, you need rescue. Let's find out. Isaiah 66 verse 1, I believe. Okay. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Who knows what a footstool is? Akpoti. Stood. Akpoti. No, what's the English version of Akpoti? Stool. Those low stools. Famala is where with you. So heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? Yes, next chapter, next verse. Let's go. Yeah. For all those things my hand has made, right? It made the heavens and the earth. It's not worthy enough for him to reside in, since he made them with his hands. And all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Well, the context there, so humble and a contrite spirit, you can also interchange it for humble and a contrite heart. So this is the kind of heart God will live in. Not just any heart. Right, God is currently not residing in the heart of a cultist, or of a ritualist, or of a sinner who hasn't encountered him, who is not saved. Right? Are we clear? So there's a kind of heart God wants to reside in. We are going to learn more about that. You know, God has not chosen another place to live in except the hearts of men, which I find very interesting. Like a old God. He wants to live in a place and he chose the heart of a man to live in. These same hearts, our hearts can be very unstable and can be anxious and can be, you know, zealous. That is not the zeal of God. Like it can have several attributes, but God has chosen that same heart to live in. No, that's very baffling. And I find it very interesting. Do you find it interesting? We're going to learn more about this, our wonderful hearts today. So he has not chosen anywhere to live in. He didn't choose the biggest. God could have built, I don't know. It may be a supernatural empire that exists on earth to live in, and it's just him alone and nobody can approach. He could have built something monumental that the eyes can see and it's just reserved for him. But it didn't build anything magnificent. He chose the heart of a man to live in. And then, which is why one of the very first things he does with you upon salvation is to do what? Is to quickly replace the heart. Okay. Now, before you were saved, there was a certain way you behaved, maybe rebellious, maybe sinful ways, you know. You just didn't know God. And then that kind of heart is called what? A heart of stone. A heart that does not respond to God. That's before you were saved, right? But when you got saved, God chose to replace that heart. He said, that heart of stone cannot worship me, or cannot serve me, or will not pant after me. And what kind of heart did he replace it with? Heart of flesh. Right? A heart that can be responsive. Let's see Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Yes. Like upon salvation, God did not say, okay, now that I've gotten Elizabeth saved, okay, let's quickly pipe in purpose or destiny, or let's quickly push her towards achieving a destiny in life. No. It started with an exchange of heart. Yeah. Can we read together? Want to go? For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Verse 25. Let's go. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. That's your old man, your old nature. Verse 26, that's what we're going to. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of the flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's the work that Jesus did for us when he came to die for us. Are we here? So upon salvation, see what he did? He separated them first and then cleaned them up, and then he has changed the hearts of the people. Are we here? In the same way, even till today, this is still true. When you raise up your hand to say, oh Lord, I give my life to you, I want to live for you, this exchange happened. So there's a heart of flesh. You just realize that you're becoming more humble. You listen more, right? You want to come to church more. You want to separate yourself to hear from God. You want to be holy, just as he is holy. Your desire started changing from the way it was before, all the sinful nature, to saying, oh, okay, I just want to do things that please God. It's not a natural thing, because the sinner man, those people out there in the world, they don't have this kind of response. They don't have the natural inclination to say, okay, I want to please God. It's alien to them as of yet, until they are saved. But we who are saved, we now have this heart of flesh. Yes, it is God that replaces. It's not your work. It's not of your own devising. You didn't brainstorm to say, okay, you know what? This is how I want to start responding to God. This is how I should live my life. No, when you replace this heart with a heart of flesh, a natural response happened within you just to connect more with God, to please him, to dwell in his house, to make inquiries to him, to fellowship with his people, to serve with his people. All of that is not natural. Right? So this is what we all got upon salvation, the heart of flesh. I'm going to tell you why God had to do it. Today's conversation is quite interesting. And I'm really, really trusting God for impartation again, that our hearts will be, we'll receive fire, we'll receive a fresh understanding of how to even transact with our hearts when it comes to the things of God. Why did he have to replace your heart with the heart of flesh? Right? So that he can put his spirit within us. We read it, right? Did we? And cause us to walk in his statutes. Let's see Ezekiel 36, 27, just the next verse. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, if God went ahead to say, okay, let me put my spirit without the exchange of hearts, there will be a problem. It won't even work. It's like trying to put, which example will I give now? Try to download an app that is only on Google Play. You want to download it on iPhone. Will it work? There are two different OS. The phone will just start and it's not even download, right? It will just write error 404. There's nothing you can do about it. So God has to make sure that the heart first is exchanged. There's a heart of flesh first before he can put his spirit inside you. Why did he do that? Because of this. So that he can cause us to walk in his statutes. What is the meaning of statutes? Anybody? Commandments, okay? Come on. I know this is the first time some of us are coming across this English, yes? To walk in his image. Okay, well, kinda. Yeah. In his ways, yes. Yes. Right, so that he can cause us to walk in his statutes. That's why he puts his spirit. And then not just do that, we'll keep his judgments and do them. So that thing I said earlier, you're just able to respond to God. The sinful man does not know how to respond to God till today. But when you have his heart, when he has exchanged your heart and put his spirit within you, you have the ability to do that thing that Richard was saying, to do his will. Without these things, you can't do the will of God. To be a struggle, you don't even understand what the will is in the first place. Are we here? You'll be able to do them. You will receive the leading of his spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. You receive directions, instructions on how to keep his judgments or how to keep his commandments. Okay, different translations. Thank you. Because I will put my spirit in you and make you eager to obey my laws and teachings. You'll be eager. See, it's not me that's making it happen. No, you will be eager to obey his laws and teachings. Everything you're listening to today, or you've been listening to for the past months or the past years, this is the reason the OS has been adjusted, right? You have the heart of flesh and you have his spirit to do his will, to keep his laws and his teachings. Do we understand? Is that very clear? All right. Let's go a step further. But guess what? This heart is very interesting, like I said. This same heart that God has chosen to live in, it can be very anxious. Sometimes he just wants to have his own way. Even though God has done this kind of investment in it, he still wants to have his own way. He still wants to... The heart falters. Am I correct? Yeah, this is why we pray for him to create in us clean hearts and renew a steadfast spirit. Let's see Psalm 51 verse 10. Psalm 51 verse 10. Because when some of us gave our life to Christ, we didn't... It was not a smooth sail. Are we here? Are we here? What that means is when you give your life to Christ, on some days you will still lie. On some, at least the early days, I don't want to believe anybody here is still lying. No, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. In the early days of your Christian journey, you will still lie once in a while. You will still be found wanting. You understand? You are not, your leg has not been steadied, so to speak. Right? Sometimes you are still keeping up with your old habits. So the heart has the ability to, even after 5 years of becoming saved, there's still some struggles you're having. Your flesh is still trying to gain control. So the heart has the ability to what? To falter, to fall by the wayside. Right? To be numb from the things of God. It will just be alien to you. You that was once saved, you were screaming, Jesus, only you, Jesus. Well, now we can't find you. Yeah, the heart has that strong tendency to journey out of the will of God, journey out of the presence of God. And this is why David prayed this prayer. And this is one prayer I pray every now and then. And this prayer that actually keeps us. Create in me what? I can't hear also. Create in me a what? Oh God, and renew what? A steadfast spirit within me. Now, only God can give a man a steadfast spirit. You don't have the ability. It's not by going to Rio Kill that you have this steadfast spirit. No. Because David quickly realized that, I have the zeal, I have the passion to do the will of God, but this heart of mine that is quick to wander, I have to take it back to the person that gave me this heart of flesh and ask him to also do what? To make the same heart, the spirit he has put in me, let it be steadfast. In 5 years to come, I'm still standing. Who is the oldest here? Let me guess. You don't have to raise your hand. I might be wrong, but say 19. We have 25. That's what I said. I can't assure myself. Almost 25. Yeah. Maybe the youngest can be like what? 12, 13. 9. Who's 9? Wonderful. Yeah. Now, what's your name? Titobi. You're the famous Titobi. All right, now he's 9 years old. And he's getting to know God now, which is the most beautiful thing ever in this life. But then again, he still has to trust God for the rest of his life to keep him steady, to keep his heart steady. So when he's 30, he will still be praying this prayer, give me a steadfast spirit. When he's 50, keep me, preserve me with a steadfast spirit. You see, this prayer is not something, it's not a one-off prayer. Are we here? It's not a one-off prayer. It's not a meditation, it's a prayer. Do we get? Because this is how our heart, like I said earlier, it can transact with the things you once left, the sinful ways and the sinful nature of man, right? It's just self. Every once in a while, self still wants to have his way, but this prayer would keep you. Right? And then when you have a steadfast spirit, you can do what? You can keep the teachings of God. You can keep his laws. You are preserved. Right? God can still reside in you every other day of your life, but it takes what? A clean heart and a steadfast spirit. A steadfast spirit, this is how I see it. The steadfast spirit is one that has thoroughly learned the ways of God and is very responsive to the things of God. So a steadfast spirit, even though it falters, even though the heart falters, it's very quick to respond. It's very quick to say, okay, this is how I missed it. It can quickly take itself back to God. So that God can restore and you keep finding yourself on the track to fulfilling God's will for your life. A steadfast spirit. Right, some people, once they falter, it can take them, another 3 months for them to get back on track. Some people, 5 months, they are still struggling to get back on track. You know, here and there, they're like, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. This steadfast spirit will make you apt and very quick to say, this is where I've missed it. Let me go and report myself to God very quickly so he can fix me. He can give me that clean heart again. And it can do what? Renew a steadfast spirit. There's always a renewal. And God is so passionate about doing this renewal. This is where he takes pleasure. Because he knows the frailty of man. Before he chose to reside in man, he knows how very frail we are. And so you're not trying to perform to God. There's zero performance before God. Very easy. This is why I've missed it to God. I'm coming again. As remember Pastor Alu's song, Jemos, is me again. You get, but this is where God takes pleasure in. God loves restoration. Nothing called restoration is so real. God's restoration is way more than what or who you used to be. Way more than that. So let's say you were battling with lust. Let me give that example. You're battling with lust every once in a while. If you see that fine girl, you just can't take your eyes off. Or if you see that fine guy, you are just hoping to come and say hello. Just hello, you are gone. Right? And then if you take yourself to God, like I said, if you're very apt, and then you take yourself to God, I don't like this inordinate desire that is in me. Now, we restore it to the point where maybe you even have passion to even preach to that brother instead of wanting to have him come chike you or come toast you. Sure, you get. It will restore you way more than your previous state. Yeah, that's why I love God's restoration. I've been a benefactor of it, not once, not twice. So that's what it does. Because man can do what? Man falters a lot. Man falters. See, you have to admit, though, you don't have the strength to remain very steady in the things of God. Now, God wants your feet to be steady and sturdy. S-T-U-R-D-Y. But anytime you miss it, don't beat yourself up too hard. See, that would be to quickly snap and say, oh, God, I've missed it again. No. Because that's what they call a humble and a contrite heart. A heart that can quickly know, I've crossed the lines again. Let me quickly. Yeah, because that's the heart that is seeking his pleasure, not your own pleasure. So if you're after his pleasure, when you miss it, you're quick to say, oh, God, because I still have your pleasure as top priority in my life, I've come to report myself. So when you fix me, I will continue on that journey of feeling your pleasure. It is when we delay and, I say we're trusting the Lord. Most times, we've not let go of that pleasure that is in us. We should be very quick in spirit. Shouldn't take too long. Deji, correct? All right, let's move another step further. So I wrote here that our hearts can wander, and it's our responsibility to return it back to its maker for him to preserve it and keep us on track. Yes, it is our responsibility. David understood this and he took it upon him. See, it's a responsibility to take your heart back to the one that gave you that heart of flesh in the first place, to say, God, please help me perform that surgery, quote unquote. Help me do your work in me so I can be steadfast. Don't be the kind of believer. See, most of you should be so. By the time we get to our age, most of us, by the time we get to 30s, you should be so steadfast. You should be so stable in the things of God. Not just that, Seth. The kind of fruits you should be bearing by then should be mind-blowing, right? It should be mind-blowing. And this is the exact thing that will make you achieve that, is steadfast heart, a steadfast spirit. It's not as though you're falling today, you're rising again tomorrow, you've given yourself to flesh, you're coming up again tomorrow. No, it can be steadfast. It can be steady. Your work with God can be what? It's on a steady growth trajectory. Steady growth trajectory. You're just enjoying God, enjoying the things of God, and you're excelling in the will of God. No command, no pause, no delay, no detours. No record detours. You're going to Oshogbo, but you say you should branch to Abeokuta. No, your journey is straight. Your work with God is on track. Now, let's look at three things. Very quickly. We're going to be looking at, and this is where I'll start to wrap up once we touch these three things. What the heart is made for. Are we here? What did I say? What the heart is made for. Now, we have discussed who gave us the heart, right? And we have discussed God's intention for the heart, right? Yes, sir. What is it? God's intention for heart is that we will respond to his teachings and keep his laws. That's why he gave us the heart. Right. This was just David's prayer, referencing how that once we have a steadfast spirit, we'll be able to what? Keep his laws and do his teachings. Do we get? Now, we're going to look at three areas or three things the heart is made for. This same heart that is in you that is doing bing, bing, bing. It's more than that organ. It's more than that heartbeat. It is what men use to transact with God. Right? This is where God is living. Can you imagine? Oh, Lord. What the heart is made for, right? The first one is
to fulfill the first commandment. Now, we said that it was upon salvation. The first thing he did was to exchange the hearts, right? Now that we have the hearts, the very first thing, are we here? The very first thing that the heart is made for is fulfill the first. What is the first commandment or the most important commandment in the Bible? Okay, correct. They know you're at the back, so let me try them at the back. Yes, my sister on sweatshirts. What is the most important commandment in the Bible? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second. Which is like unto the first. Yes, see Toby. No. He actually got it. Yeah, please tell them. Tell us, what's the first or the most important commandment? Love God with all your heart. Right, that's the one we're going to be looking at. So that is what the heart is made for, to love. Yeah. Let's see Matthew 22, verse 37. Uh-oh, okay. You know, the heart is more than an emotional organ. You know, maybe it was when I was still using BlackBerry, BBM, before WhatsApp became a thing. We used words like, so before it was I love you, it's moved to I heart you. You know, do you guys use that slang, that phrase? I'm actually old though. Yeah, like I heart you. My people at the back, so we can relate. Yeah, so that organ was not for the, it's not to hurt people, though. It's to love God. Are we here? It's to love God. The Bible teaches where to direct it towards. So don't say, I don't know what to direct my heart towards. It's towards the love of God, to love the Lord. Why? Because upon salvation, even though that's what I was saying earlier, even though you are saved, the heart still has tendencies. Right? And the heart can love anything and everything outside of God. That is where idols also come from. Are we here? With the love of God, you can love. That's why the first thing we have to have is the love of God. If we don't love the Lord, we won't be able to love on other things accurately. Are we here? I'll take time to explain this one. Now, without the love of God, you will love other things inaccurately, and things you shouldn't be loving, you will find yourself having affection towards. Okay, let's start with the former. When you don't have the love of God, it's easy to let self have its way. Maybe lust, or backbite, or steal, or lie, and you do it confidently because you don't love the Lord really. No, the love of God really constrains us. It keeps us in a state of accountability. Right? You know, there's how you love some of your friends. You know that, I can't do this thing behind this person's back. I can't do it. Right? You're constrained because of the love you have for that person or towards that person. How much more the love of God? So when you don't have the love of God, you would find yourself living as though you were not saved, even though he has given this exchange of hearts. So the first thing to do upon salvation and upon everything I've mentioned is to first pour it out to God. Love the Lord so passionately. What do you say? Love the God with all your heart. That all for me is the game changer. He didn't say with a portion of your heart, then the other portion of your heart, you can use it to. Joshua and Co., are you starting another seminar? He didn't say, you can love the Lord partially with this portion of your heart, then this portion, use it to flex, use it to love on other things. He said, with all your heart, nothing excluded. So your parents, for you to love them, of course, you're meant to honor them, it's biblical. Now, to love them or your friends, it is as you understand the love of God, you'll be able to do that. So every other kind of love is embedded in first loving the Lord with all your heart, Once you have love of, once you love God with all your heart, you can now turn to things and turn to people, and you will know how to love them accurately. Right? For some of us that are married, we can't express the love of, we can't love our spouse well enough if we've not understood the love of God. Some of us are able to love our spouses well enough, or at least we are doing our best. We can't say well enough. It's like, they are the ones that will give us our report card. Right? Now, we do the best that we can because we have the love of the Father in us. Are we here? If you want to love your friends in school or love on your teacher, right? You know, maybe I've heard of cases of students lusting after their teachers. Those very silly, strange things. Yes. Or maybe a youth couple just came to... Yeah, youth couple. That's not as popular. A youth, one fine boy like that. You just posted this fine boy to your secondary school. And next thing, both Ed Gelu and Health Prefect are fighting for that copper. Very strange thing. Yeah. So the heart without God can have the ability to do that. A heart that has learned to love God will love appropriately and will love accurately. You love your parents, right? You know how to honor them rightly, how to serve them. They'll be like, where is all this coming from? They'll be suspecting you. Ah, come on. It's not that this boy to land us won't be like this, that is loving on us like this. Yeah. Because you've learned the love of the Father. It's become very real to you. Right? And every other thing, every other area of your life. Because you have love of the Father, you just know that you're not meant to love certain things. You're not meant to keep company with those that, you know, will give you evil counsel. Right? Because you have love of the Father, and you can also discern, I can't love on this thing again. I can't love on certain Instagram pages, you know, or TikTok pages that you know that, if I spend just 20 minutes on this page, my Christianity is already like 2%. You have to start looking for how to recharge. Right? You just not to follow certain pages again because the love of the Father, because you're so passionate about keeping a right standing with God. So you will turn back on a lot of things. A lot. That is how God can still reside in you confidently. When you choose boldly, I can't follow this kind of social media platforms again. I can't follow this page again. I can't follow that friend again. I can't say no to that big head that is toasting me. You know? I have to say no to buying Expo for WAEC or for JAMP. Yeah, that's the thing a lot of you would face. In my time, we used to code it. You know, right? It's very crazy these days that, you know, they will put table in front of the school like this to say, okay, if you want to pass this exam, 1K for Expo, you drop your 1K. Yes, so I have members that are going through things in their school. Back then, it was more expensive, Seth. See how cheap it is to deviate, right? Now, is it that I would choose to say, no, I will not love, I'll keep my love with God, and I will say no to Expo, to quick answers. Are we here? Yeah, that's what the love of God will do in your heart. You'll be able to love God, you'll be able to love your brothers and sisters accurately, right? You will learn to forbear, you will learn to love passionately, you learn to serve your brothers and your sisters. You can't do that. Now, if you do this without the love of God, it will only be for a short while before your real nature shows up, before you get weary. It's the love of God that keeps you going, for years to come. They're like, this guy's served faithfully. This guy's loved his wife so passionately. Like, it's just new wine upon new wine. It has not dwindled. It has not declined. It's the love of God, though. It's the love of God. It's that we've loved with all our hearts first. Then we can turn to our spouse and love, or turn to people around us and love. Are we following? Yes. So, yeah, that's number one. Number two, what the heart is made for. The heart is made for true worship. true worship. Let's see John 4:24. I won't spend a lot of time here because of time. With all your heart, all your soul, on your mind. Yeah. So true worship. Let's read. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's see the next verse. I don't think it speaks to my context. Let me just see. 25? Okay, yeah, just 24. Now, God, everyone who worships God because he is spirit, we must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, it is with this heart. It is with this heart we can worship God with spirit. And see, worshiping God is not in mouthing confessions. People can mouth confessions very well. They can profess and profess and profess, but if it's not hearty, it's not coming from the heart, God is not transacting with it. Right? There's a passion, a place in the Bible that says what they are. Their hearts are far from him. They only lip sing it, but their hearts are very far from him. So our hearts are made for true worship. Right? It's not in mouthing confessions or, thankfully, sacrifices of bulls and rams. And I said that thankfully for a purpose. You know, who's following Chosen? Is anybody watching Chosen? Okay. I watched the season five, episode 2 and episode 1 has been very interesting because it was referencing the place where Jesus had to use cord to wipe those people that were selling in the temple. Very long cord like this. If you've not watched it, I must preach my preacher. Now, that scene was very interesting. You just saw people buying rams. They'll say, this person you have seen, that scene that you've seen is very great. It's not ghosts that will do it, it's sheep that will do it. And that lady will come, that scene you've seen, okay, that scene is not too much. Maybe just buy pigeon. Pigeon is for small sin, is pigeon. For big sin, is goats. For the bigger sin, is sheep. Look at the money they were spending there just to make sure that they have a right standing with God. Now, how is it so much better, right? Yeah, he has given us a heart that we can transact with him and worship him in truth and in spirit. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
So we are most privileged. Let's see Psalm 51 verse 16. Psalm 51 verse 16. Psalm 51 verse 16 to 17. Are we all blessed? Wonderful. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. This is David. Of course, he's a king. He can afford to buy hundreds of rams, maybe. You do not delight in burnt offering. Next verse. Are we here? The sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise. That is God's sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart. Thank God, though, it's not bull and ram, because how would you teenagers afford ram and sheep? A broken and a contrite. So you must get yourself to a place where you have this what? Broken and a contrite heart. Like I said earlier, it's not rocket science. There's a lot of sitting down to talk to yourself to do. Like you sit down and actually talk to yourself that, okay, I truly want to live for God's pleasure. I truly want to live a life that is responsive to the things of God. God, please give me this broken and a contrite heart. He gives it a heart that is not, when God brings rebuke or correction to you, you're not fighting it. You're not saying, no, God, this one, I'll not agree. I'm right. That girl is wrong. You know, when he's bringing directions to you, you're not stiff-necked. You're quick to turn. Are we here? You're quick to turn and move in the light of what he's asking you to do. Are we here? That's a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that, again, when it falters, it's very quick. That's why a lot of us just love David as a person. He was someone that was very quick to repent, except for one, right, when he slept with another man's wife, and he committed another atrocity. of killing the man. But David naturally had that reputation of what? Responding to God accurately and very quickly. See, everybody's, your heart must be here. Before the things of this, before you get to interact with the world out there, and then, you know, they start to transact with things that are not God's. Your heart must be a humble and a contrite, a broken and a contrite heart. Because the world out there is no good for anybody. Their heart is stiff. They're after their own words. Interest, not your own interest. I'm telling you. So broken and a contrite heart towards God is very important. You won't struggle. Say you won't struggle. You won't struggle with life. You will gain speed a lot when you have this broken and contrite heart. When you're quick to respond to God's rebuke, you'll be very quick and apt. You gain speed. Are we here? Yeah. So this is what the second thing the heart is made for. For true worship. True worship. When you come to God, you are not, when you come to the house of God, it's not to look around for who is wearing the most beautiful clothes, or who's wearing the most expensive wig, you know, and all of that. No, no, no. Your posture towards to come to the house of God first is, God, I've come to transact again with my heart. I've come for you to impact my heart again. I've come for you to renew my heart, put your fire in my heart again. Yeah, that's why we come to church. It does transaction with your heart, not with your lips, not with your pockets, with your bank account. No, it's with your heart. If you gain mileage in life, in any area of your life, it is that you get this thing very, you get this thing correctly. Right? It's something I tend to do as frequent as possible. Right? Before I leave the house, whether for Bible study or Sunday service, I first talk to God about my heart. Because after a long day, you've received plenty basbos. Or you've had a smooth day maybe, but your heart is not in a place where you're ready to meet with Him. You can quickly talk to the heart to say, no, God, because I know that if I go for Bible study, sit down there for 2 hours, 30 minutes, and I'm not impacted, I didn't really transact, then I've wasted my time. And a lot of people actually do. Right? They just come back attendance. I'm playing church. But God wants to meet. God meets with us here. Now, you must be one of the people that He meets with by telling your heart, God, my heart is here for true worship. My heart is here to listen to all that you have for me. My heart is ready to do your will, O Lord. Yeah, true worship. It's not in, like I said, it's not in mouthing confessions. It is that you're ready to do business with God, with your what? With your hearts. Are we here? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. My last point. What's the first one? What the heart is made for? Yeah, to fulfill the first commandment, which is, or the most important commandment, which is to love God with all your heart. Second is what? For true worship. The third is what? What's the third? I've not said it. For service. That was a trick question. I wanted to see if you guys are with me. The heart, your heart is for service. So these are the tears so that you will not be deceived. Right? Upon salvation, you quickly know how to appropriate the use of your heart. You can quickly appropriate it to say, to love God with the whole of it so that I can love on other things is bringing my way accurately. To do what again? For true worship. To constantly seek to have a broken and a contrite heart. The third one is what? For service. There could be more, but these are the three points I have for you guys today. Let's look at 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Now, we said that we should love God with what? With all of our hearts. Now, in service to God, it is done with what? Can we see it? All our hearts. Let's read together. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, just leave it there. There's a steady reference, right, of all your heart, all your heart, all your heart. Why is it all? It has to be all because if you leave any slight portion out of it, the devil will come for it. It has to be all your heart. All your heart. So you guys are not too young to start taking inventory of your life. Let me put it that way. To say, okay, take inventory of your friends, of your habits, of your desires, of your wants, to say, okay, which of them is rightly connected to feeling God's pleasure and which of them is not? Right? Because it's meant to be what? All your heart. Any direction you take, your heart is invested in it too. Any direction you take in life, there's a certain level of investment that your heart is already transacting with. So, but the things of God are with all your heart, so that all your ways and your path in life is directed, is definite. You are in God's will. It's not today you're in God's will, tomorrow you're not sure whether you're in God's will again, because, you know, it is with all your heart that you are sure, more than sure, that you are in God's will. Second part is interesting. For consider what great things he has done for you. Now, there's a charge. Serve him, right, with all your heart. It's also telling you to consider the great things he has done for you. Who can tell me one or two things that God has done for you? One or two great things he has done for you. Salvation. Any other one? Grace. Peace. He died for us, right? So that we can be saved. Yes, those are things he has done for you. So you would know how to be grateful, especially salvation. Because when people give their life to Christ and their mind is not totally renewed, they tend to think that, okay, now what's in it for me after salvation? No. Salvation is all that God has in store for you. See, because you can't save yourself. You couldn't have done it by yourself. He came to do it for you for free. So you owe him service. God, your salvation doesn't have an expiry date. It's till you leave this earth, right? So your service to God should not have an expiry date. It's till you leave this earth. Salvation alone is the reason. So, and it's something you should tell yourself as you mature in life that, no, amongst everything God has given me, I will count salvation the greatest gift ever. Ever in life, salvation of my soul. That I'm not lost. I'm telling you, because God will bless all of you here. And you guys will achieve stuff and do great things for him. Great exploits. But you will see, when you're counting on your blessings, you will esteem this one higher. Yeah. Salvation of your soul. Now, when you know that, that's the thing, for consider this, because you are aware of what he has done for you, you should live in service to him. Perpetually. No expiry dates. You're not looking forward to graduation. Perpetual service to God. And it's with what? Your heart. You serve him in truth with all of your heart. You're serving God's people with all of your heart. You're serving God's servant with all of your heart. You're pursuing his vision and his will over your life with what? All of your heart. It is with all, it's not with some. Because that some or that partial, we don't trust it. We don't know the source. We don't know where it will direct you to. We don't know the route it will take. So with all of your heart, you are preserved. You are guarded when it is with what? All of your heart. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me start to tie it together. Yeah, because the heart has the ability to love many things. To build and establish idols in and around our lives. That's why it has to be what? With all of our hearts. Yeah, idols are real. Idols are not the first shrine in your village or the Ogun shrine. No, idols are real. Social media can be your idol. Right? That celebrity can be your idol. A job can be your idol. Your gift, your talent can be an idol. Now, a job is not the job that the world gave you or the enemy gave. The job that God gave you can be your idol. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Just believe me, the job that God gave you can still turn out to be your idol. You came to give testimony, but it can turn out to be your idol. Now, what would you do to ensure that it doesn't become your idol? So every once in a while, when you find yourself achieving stuff, right, you're making waves in that company, and then you are receiving congratulatory, you're being recognized. Now, you have to be quick to say, this is God that gave me this job, one, and he gave me the grace and ability to be effective here. It's a way to guide your heart from it becoming an idol, to say, this man that did this now. I'll be stubborn. I'll be creative now. Bad guy. You get. Anything can become your idol. By the time one kind of salary start entering your account, Kai! Oh my God. It can become an idol. Right? You say, God has brought me this far. I think I can take it from here, you know? So we must watch our hearts. And we serve him with gladness. Let's look at, this is the last scripture, I believe. Psalms 100 verse 2. There's a way to also serve God. Let's read together. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with him. Now that first sentence, serve God with what? Serve the Lord with gladness. You don't serve God grudgingly. You don't serve God as though you have a beef with him. With gladness. And the gladness comes from where? From your heart. The same way the grudge too will come from your heart. So any service you're doing to God within Teens Ministry, it is that you have to correct this thing. You have to make sure it's steady. You're serving God with gladness of heart. With gladness. Because you are aware of what he has done for you that you couldn't have done for yourself. Right? Yes, because we have the ability to serve God grudgingly and what? Selfishly. You can be like, let me serve God today, make my tomorrow better. Yeah, that's selfish. When God came to die for you, it was not selfish. He did it for you perpetually. So you serve God perpetually, to not thinking of what you have to gain for yourself. And maybe our parents, this was their WhatsApp group. They'll be like, let me clean church chair so that my business go better, so that customers will come my shop. You guys have not had those kind of things before. Let me join church sanctuary. Let me serve God so that this can happen, that can happen. No. You serve God with what? Gladness. It's a heart posture. It's a what? It's a heart posture. Please, guys. It's a heart posture. I'll wrap up with this thought. Thank you, Jesus. I think God has helped us today. I believe he has really, really helped us today. Let's quickly see 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 to 15. Yeah, I'll wrap up with this verse. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 to 15. Yep. Still about service. Because a lot of us here, guess what? You are, if not everybody here, you'll be part of the workforce of GRTM. And when you eventually graduate, you join the workforce of what? GCC, of the bigger church, right? So it's very paramount that you guys start to get this thing right early, to serve God with gladness and to serve him with your heart. Let's see 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Next verse. And each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Let's stop here. Now, guess what? When you're serving in church, when you're serving in the house of God, when you're serving God's people, when you serve with the right heart, your work will be tested. When you don't serve with the right heart, your work will also be... This is something God has been bringing to me personally for the past weeks. how to serve. Because, yeah, we do amazing stuff. We do glory room crusades. We do this. We serve in these units. We do that. But if your heart is not in the right place, if your heart doesn't understand true worship, doesn't understand loving the Lord with all your heart, doesn't understand service with serving God with all your heart, you might find yourself wanting on this day when everyone's work will be tested. Yeah. Yeah. So, in order to ensure that day you're not found wanting, you can get it right today to say, God, my heart, to help my heart. Service is from the heart first. It's not in running around. It's not running tasketa. Ah, what is this? Ah, no. It's a heart posture first. It's a heart posture first. God has to help your heart. Has to help my heart. So that our work will stand when he has come to test it. Are we here? Have we been blessed? Have we been blessed today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd like us to say a short word of prayer. We can stand up. Everybody up. I'd like us to pray for ourselves this afternoon that God will put his searchlight on our hearts again and that our hearts will be purified to love him, to worship him, and to serve him. Let's pray. Let's start to pray. That our heart is purified. We put a searchlight on our hearts. Bible says, search my heart and try my thoughts. If there's any wicked way in me, you reveal it and lead me to everlasting life, to life everlasting. That God will put a searchlight on our hearts again, from the youngest to the oldest. And our desires, our intentions, our tendencies will be revealed. It will be corrected in the name of Jesus. We can't serve God with a faulty heart, with a heart that is still found wanting. No, it's not true service. It's not going up as an incense. It's just, you know, self-sacrifice, self-righteousness. God, help our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No one here will be found wanting in the name of Jesus. No one here will be found wanting. Help our hearts, Lord. Give us that steadfast spirit. Give us that steadfast heart to stay strong, to stand and keep standing in the will of God over our lives. In the name of Jesus. Ali kora basha dika duvre kebaladis. Ele duvali karuva zabako velika bradivali kadosh. Eruva Zababalika Dovalika Valia Bosha Ora Duvalika Brakadash. Yes, our hearts, Lord. Take and seal it, Lord. Seal our hearts, Lord. Let it be all about you and none of ourselves. Let it be all about you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.